When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
There's a devil in this hollow. There's evil in these hills. I'm just...
Welcome to the All Things Blues and Southern Rock Podcast, a Southern Storm of bold, liberating rock. Shot through with blues, soul, and gospel. And now, your hosts for the show, Brian Jones and Jason Johannes.
Welcome to another episode of the All Things Blues and Southern Rock Podcast on Pantheon Podcast, where you can go to find your favorite genre of music podcast, also home of the Metallica podcast, and many other great podcasts. So go there, find what you like. Hopefully that's us. That would be great. And it's great that Jason's here, too.
It is great that I'm here, because where else would I be, Brian? Where else would I be?
You might be in a street. You might be like in a virtual street brawl. But we've already talked about that.
Virtual chat room brawl. But happy to be here. Happy to be here. How are you doing?
Good. Good. What's we need some music news, or maybe we don't.
Music news. You want to talk about the new Motley Crue single?
It's crap. I listened to maybe 20 seconds, if that.
You lasted longer than I did.
You know, I think they don't realize, or I think, I don't know, who knows? Nicky, I think he thinks like it always seems to me he's trying to like, branch out and be, you know, like different.
That's
or whatever.
He doesn't. Was.
But I think he doesn't realize like I think they're intended to be like AC/DC. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. If I'm going to hear a new Motley Crue song, I want to hear something that would sound like it came off Theater Pain or you know.
Or just don't make
Dr. Feelgood, or just.
You know, like, is anybody really clamoring for new music, especially with Mick Mars out, Vince with his obviously vocal limitations? I don't think so. Just go play the old stuff.
No, but I mean, I think if they did do something, just do something that, you know, it doesn't.
A little pop metal polish.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, if it sounds like something that was left over from Theater Pain, that's fine. That's what you're supposed to sound like, you know.
My opinion on all this before we move on is the last good thing Vince Neil did was the solo record with Steve Stevens. That was very good.
Yeah.
And last thing Motley Crue did that was well was Dr. Feelgood.
I like Saints of Los Angeles. That's
do you? Okay. Did you like that one?
Yeah. Definitely a little heavier. Some of the tracks. Yeah, I had that at some point. I don't know what happened to it, but
just could never get into Generation Swine. No, you know, I could not get in the stuff with the other singer, blanking on his name.
John Corabi.
You know, just wasn't for me. I love Motley Crue, grew up on them.
Yeah.
Love all the stuff through Dr. Feelgood. Love their, you know, greatest hits that had Primal Scream on it. That was a good song, Primal Scream. So, but that's all right, man. You know what? Bands get older. It happens.
I've heard like a song or two off New Tattoo, and I think that's the record they did when Tommy Lee was out of the band.
Okay. Had a female drummer, I believe.
Randy Castillo, who played with Ozzy, who unfortunately passed away later from cancer. I think he played on that record, maybe.
Okay. All right. I know at one point they had a female drummer trolling around with them.
Yeah. Yeah, from Hole, Samantha Maloney.
Oh, yeah. That's right. That's, man, see, that's why you're the, you know, all the trivia stuff. I'm just here for stupid jokes.
Yeah, no, that yeah, that's the case with that. Yeah, I just yeah. No.
Well,
Yeah,
speaking of
no.
friends, Brian, friends, we had our friend Lissa on the last episode, and Lissa introduced us to a new artist that's not Motley Crue.
Yeah, another one of our new favorite girls from Alabama, Taylor Honeycutt. I just got the CD yesterday, Alabama Sound. It's up in my car where it should be because I
I
have a
was
CD
just
player there.
streaming her before we got on here.
Yeah, no, she's got some good stuff. And she was a joy to talk to. So you know sometimes right away, who is going to be a regular, who's someone that you want to talk
Oh,
to right again, right away.
when we're doing the pre-show pleasantries, the greetings, when people start clicking and we automatically start going into conversations, that we want to have on the podcast, that's how you always know. What do you think of what do you think of your music?
I love it. I love it. I mean, she seems to, fit in just fine and sound just fine along with, Them Dirty Roses and Parker Barrow. They've all got a similar good rock and roll sound from Alabama. I dig it. I dig it. I think, well, I mean, she's again another one of those that can, kind of like toe the line between rock and country in their most authentic forms. So there's some stuff that, she could definitely play a country festival or a rock festival either way, and you can't just pigeonhole her in one or the other. I
Yeah,
like
I agree with you.
the upbeat stuff. I'm going to gravitate towards more naturally, but the more mellow stuff is still very authentic with a lot of integrity. It's not pop country, which is cool.
Yeah, and I kind of exactly what you said. So I'm not a big country music fan, but I do like that she certainly has rock and blues and soul undertones to the music. With you, I like the more upbeat stuff, but very, I mean, I liked it. I listened to it. I had no problem with it. I think it's, if you're going to listen to country tinged music, that's definitely more authentic with a little bit more rock to it. And it's not that glossy pop music that you kind of hear on Top 40 radio now.
Yeah,
But I dig it.
so
Thumbs up. Thumbs up for me.
yeah. So you guys kick back and relax and listen to our conversation with Taylor Honeycutt.
Grandmama never had a drop to drink. Poor grandpa's liquor down the bathroom sink. She never knew he had a copper steel. She caught him cooking liquor on Salt Lake Hill. He was gone every night in the morning light. She never knew how the bills got paid till the lawman came to the door that day.
We're at the guest segment of the podcast, and Jason's going to introduce our new first time guest here this week.
That's right. First time on the podcast. Somebody we found out about through a friend of ours who recommended her music. She's great, does a mix of country, rock, blues, soul. We're happy to have her on here tonight. It is Taylor Honeycutt. How you doing, Taylor?
I'm great. Happy to be here.
And it was Jason mentioned the friend is Lissa. Lissa
Oh, I love
Nicole.
her. My God. What a gem of a human. I love her so much.
She is.
She's the best.
And I'm wearing my Them Dirty Roses shirt. So I know you know those guys, right?
Oh, yeah. No one will.
Alabama people.
Oh, man. Oh, you're friends
Yeah.
with those guys. Oh, boy.
They've taken some years off my life, I think.
You're gonna,
Put
you know
some
what?
miles behind.
You hang out with those guys, you're gonna be throwing chairs off of Eric Church's barred
I'm
rooftop.
pretty sure we've thrown some shit before. Oh, sorry, can
Oh,
I cry?
no, please
You can say
do.
whatever you
Okay.
want. You can,
All right,
you know,
great.
we do have a sponsorship with Fruity Pebbles. I don't know if we'll lose it now.
That's our
Okay.
imaginary sponsorship.
Hey, they had one of our commercials was Fruity Pebbles one time, so just
That's amazing.
right? That's what I say, you
Did
know?
you, Taylor, did you play the first Throttle Fest in Huntsville or no?
I know I played the last, no, not this past one. but the one right before, was it COVID? But should, I can't remember if it was the first one.
The first one was in 2020. That's the first time I talked to Andrew and Frank.
Yes, then I played that one. Okay, yes.
Cool.
Yeah, and there's I think they did it again.
Yeah, they did it again. They've done it a couple
times. Yeah, they did a couple more.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, your sound is so interesting because there's like, you know, I know there's good musicians everywhere. There's good music everywhere. But to us from the outside looking in, I'm in North Dakota. Jason's in Ohio. There seems to be like a deeper tradition of song in the South. Like, it almost seems to be encoded into your DNA. But like, I mentioned them, Dirty Roses. Your band, you know, Parker Barrow, you know, even Georgia Thunderbolts, and, you know, there's a band called The Dirty Gospel. There's one called One for the Road. All these bands like that, there's that, you know, even some of your stuff to me is similar to Whiskey Myer. So it's almost like East Texas and then a lot of Mississippi. And, you know, I thought of Bishop Gunn, even though they're broke up, like they all have that similar sound and going into Alabama and Atlanta, that kind of area. So it's great because what our podcast tries to do is like really emphasize that those similar family similarities of blues, authentic country, rock and roll, gospel. And so I just had to compliment you there on that.
Well, love thank that you. I'm a big fan of everybody that you just named. So that is, it's very cool to be included in that sentence with those guys. Yeah, I think it's the Southern thing is undeniable, and I feel like it's having its moment right now. So I'm just happy to be on the wave.
Yeah. And Brian, like, people know the Southern rock thing is having its moment when guys from Ohio and North Dakota are doing podcasts about Southern rock. Cause you know, cool. When you think of Southern rock and blues, you think North Dakota and Ohio.
Exactly. That's my brain immediately.
Well, what's great, you know, yourself, Them Dirty Roses, you know, Blackberry Smoke, Whiskey Myers, y'all kind of told that line between that it, you can be country or rock. And I know like country radio is actually more hip than rock FM radio, you know? So you guys can play a rock festival, you guys can play a country festival, and it's great. It crosses over and everybody likes it.
Yeah. It's done well for us doing that. Especially with this record that just came out, I felt like it was a good mix of a little bit both. And even if we wanted to move more into the Southern rock evolving as a band, we can still play back into that country scene because I'm from Alabama. It's undeniably country in a way because that's who I am and what I grew up listening to and what I was around. So even if I'm just like accidentally throwing that in there and I'm loving that and paying homage to that, you know, it works out for both, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people just want that. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are missing that crossover thing. So it's cool that we get to do, you know, some rock festivals and we get to do like straight up country festivals. Mm-hmm. And nobody's like, what the hell is this?
How long have you been playing music? When did that start for you?
Oh, shoot. I really have been like playing and doing shows for maybe close to 10 years now. I went to college for opera. And
really?
I did. And I don't know how I got it, how I got there. I auditioned for a scholarship and I did it. And then I was there for like maybe a semester or two. And, I didn't like that. So I started sitting in with blues bands and then kind of figured out my way.
So as a high schooler, how do you figure you want to go to college for opera?
I did like music theater. So I liked that. Like, cause I played sports my whole life and then I got hurt and I decided to just go audition for the music theater stuff. And like, it was like Bye Bye Birdie or some shit. And so I did that and I ended up liking it. So I went to a small liberal arts college in Montevallo, Alabama, and auditioned, and I actually showed up for the wrong building. So I thought I was doing the musical and I was singing all these pieces from all these musicals. They're like, do you know anything Italian? Do you know anything else? This is great. And they're just like, giving out scholarships because they just want kids to do it. They're like, if you can carry a tune in a bucket, they're like, here you go. So I ended up doing that. And it was a lot. A freshman in college, like my personality, trying to be serious about singing was not, I had other things on my mind.
Well, before the sidetrack on the singing career, what sports did you play and how'd you get hurt?
I played softball my whole life, and I played volleyball pretty much from like sixth grade up. Then my senior year, I messed up one of my hips, and I like tore like a muscle back here on the back of my leg. So I ended up having to sit it out. I was like, this is my senior year, and I played catcher. So it wasn't like, And so I ended up, I played volleyball that year, but I just decided I wasn't going to do softball because it took up so much of my time. And I was like, all right, I guess I'm going to audition for this musical. And I did it.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Natural progression. Hey, I'm hurt. I can't play sports anymore. I'm going to do musical theater.
Yeah, why not? You know, I got to do something.
Brian, that's what I should have done too when I messed up my arm and my back in baseball. I should have just done musical theater.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the next step.
You could have done your karate kid on Broadway.
The karate, what?
Cobra,
I don't know. We can mash those names together. Karate Broadway Kid. I don't.
Karate.
All right, go back to music. Go back. Enough with those shenanigans. All right, you're in college. You're doing opera. Then what happens?
Then there was a blues fried chicken blues juke joint that opened up, and I needed money, so I went and applied for a job at Champy's Fried Chicken, and they had blues nights and musicians come in and play, and it was awesome. And I worked there on and off for, I dropped out of college and just worked there on and off for I don't even know how long. I got hired and fired 4 or 5 times. Shout out to Sterling and Whitney for rehiring me when I'd show back up like, hey.
Keep your seniority when you get rehired right away.
It took some convincing for sure.
Why did you get fired?
No shit. mainly, I partied a lot and I still do, but not like that. And I was starting by working there and seeing the musicians. I started hanging out with the musicians. So I would start sitting in the shows, and then I'd be late for work, or I'd be, too hungover to come in, differently on. So there were a lot of things going on in my life. One point, I was living in my car, so my car wouldn't start.
There's a lot of professionals in that line of work.
Yeah.
Joel lived in her car for a while. Come on. It's like, she had a crazy career.
Why not? It's paid for.
Is that place still there?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, funny thing, my best friend and college roommate at the time, I got kicked out, and she moved into an apartment. So, she had this tiny, tiny room, and you could fit 2 twin beds side by side in it. So, I convinced her to let me pay her $100 a month and sleep in the twin bed next to her. And so, we could, like, hold hands in the middle of the night. And I was like, I'm going to apply at this place. And she was like, okay, I'll come with you. And she already had a job, and I made her apply, and she still works there.
Even wow.
What's the name of it again? Champs, you said?
Champies. Champies Fried Chicken.
Champies Fried Chicken.
Mm-hmm. And Alabaster.
And Blues.
Alabaster?
Yep, Alabaster.
So when you sat in with people, with just locals, or is there anyone that's been through there that is, making a career out of blues, or anyone that's well or known now?
It was mainly the circuit of people that would come through there, it was mainly like everybody in the Alabama Blues Society. So they'd come through and play and do like little gigs and stuff, which were, I mean, some of the best musicians I've ever seen. But it was, I mean, you're just in a juke joint. You're in a corner by the jukebox. You got, they're playing sports above your head. Nobody's listening, but I was listening. And I cared. So I'd walk around and sing harmonies and sing the songs while I was waiting on tables. And finally one day I was like, get up here and sing this. And I was like, okay, I'll do it.
Did you pursue like blues at all at any time or?
I was playing in a duo and the guy that I was playing with then, he was in a couple blues bands. So that was kind of what he was doing. So I would learn like the standards, you know, like, and then I learned some like Tedeschi stuff to throw in and I'd go to blues jams and I did that for a long time. But once I started writing my own music, it was leaning more towards like the singer songwriter thing. And then it kind of progressed into what it is now.
So when you started writing your own stuff at that same time, had you decided at that point, I'm going to be the front person of a band, or were you just writing songs and then that came later, or what's the evolution of that?
I was already fronting like my own band, which was like a cover band. So I was already doing that before I broke out and decided to start writing songs. I had a band called Sweet Tea and the Lemons. I don't know who named that or why we did that, but it was an all-star band of like the older cats in the Birmingham area because I was living in Birmingham at that time.
Okay.
And it was awesome and I loved it, but then I really started writing and then decided, okay, now I'm really gonna make Taylor Honeycutt a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and I've created a monster.
So was that in Birmingham in Alabama? Is that like the place to go if you want to get noticed? Are there more musicians there? Is there a scene there? Or, you know, where, what about Huntsville? Like, I'm just very curious about what towns there like have, you know, the congregation of musicians.
Yeah. Birmingham does have a great scene. It's kind of hard to break into, and you can go to the open mics and you can do the thing, but it's got a great scene for music. Huntsville has a great scene for music. I think probably even better than Birmingham naturally because it's bigger now. Mm-hmm. Huntsville is growing like crazy. Mm-hmm. And even like Mobile has, I mean, the Red Clay Strays are from there and all these other bands are coming out. Muscadine Bloodline, all these bands have come out of Mobile in that area and they really have a scene. And then you go east over to Auburn and there's a great scene there. So there's little pockets all over, but I found myself in Birmingham because it was close to where I went to college. So I just kind of migrated that way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Alabama, like, wow. You know, the Steelwoods are from there. You know, we mentioned them, Dirty Roses, Charlie Starr's from there. Damon Johnson, who's in Brother Kane and playing in Skinner too. So a lot of great people. And Muscle Shoals, you got to mention that. Have you spent time there or recorded, done anything there or?
So the whole last record was done in Decatur, Alabama, which is right outside of Muscle Shoals. But I think a lot of people pay a lot of money to come to the Shoals to have that connection to fame and to all the amazing artists that were there. Mm. And the producer that I ended up doing this record with was very like, you know, I'm right here. I'm not the Shoals, but I, you know, he was Johnny Sandlin's understudy and helped him for years and who did all the Allman Brothers records. And so Jeremy really knows what he's doing. And as soon as I met him, I was like, okay, so it's cool. And I'm very like, I'm just going to say it. I'm very anti-Nashville. Like I don't want to go to Nashville because it's Nashville. And so I think he kind of feels the same way about Muscle Shoals about, I don't want to go to Muscle Shoals because everybody's like, oh, it's Muscle Shoals. We got Muscle Shoals at home. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm really happy with how the record turned out though. So, but yeah, there's pockets all over.
Well, let's talk about your record, Taylor. I mean, you already brought it up kind of where you did. So let's tell everybody a little bit about your latest record and all the good stuff about it.
I think it's a great segue from, like the singer-songwriter era that I was in, and I think it's moving more into the Southern rock genre. That
great slide playing on that album. That's one thing I pointed out right away.
I'll tell him you said that. He'll love that.
Yeah. Yes. I like guitars and guitar playing.
Right. Hey, I think we were really, I mean, honestly, going back, it was 2 years ago when we made it. So going back and listening to it and seeing where we are now is so vastly different. You know, like we've put a lot of miles on those songs now and already started recording the next one, having it coming out and then the next one. So it's like, it was us getting $100 at a time, trying to go to the studio and cut as many things in one day as we could. But I like how it feels live. I like how it, in a way, feels flawed and just honest and real, because that's what we are as a band. So I'm happy with it. I think it's cool. I think it's a cool first full-length record to put out.
Yeah. Why not? Yeah, it's definitely a little bit less singer-songwriter than your EP that you had, for sure.
Right.
And the music, the playing on it is really fantastic. I picked that up right away. I was just really impressed.
Yeah, they're pretty good. I think them boys pretty good.
Singing's okay. The instrumental's awesome.
Yeah, screw her.
Boy, if you just get rid of that singer, this would really be good.
That's awesome.
So you're already talking about going through some new stuff, but what's your evolution with this next couple songs or next record?
I think the next record, or is it, we have an EP coming out in October, and we recorded it in Fort Smith, Arkansas, and it was related to a festival that we're doing there. We got picked for the emerging artist, so we went up there and did that. It's like six songs, but I mean, I think it's, with the exception of one song, more Southern rock than the record. I think it's the natural progression of going into that, just more of a rock record. There's one song that's a little singer-songwriter-y, I guess, but for the most part, I mean, there's a Blackfoot cover on it, so it's like...
Oh, wait, which one?
Left Turn on a Red Light.
How'd you come up with that one as a cover?
I just love Blackfoot. I love Ricky Medlock a lot. Because everybody covers Skinner, and obviously Skinner's my number one. But I think there's so many other Southern rock bands and older ones out there that people don't dive into as much, and they're wanting for it. And Blackfoot's one of those bands for me. So I thought it'd be cool to do it, and it fits our sound, you know, with the guitars and everything. It's ended up being really cool.
Is the band you had in the studio, is that your touring band as well?
Yeah, we've had some turnover, but the guitar players are the same. So, the freaking guitar players. The one of them is my husband, and the other one is like my child. So they stay with me no matter what. But the band I have now is, they ain't going nowhere. So,
well, good. Well, good choice on the husband too, because again, I always pick up on guitar stuff, and it's really good. And when you tell us too that you're really kind of just naturally going in a little bit more of the Southern rock direction, you can hear the foundation of that in your last record for sure. And your vocals, like, you've got a really cool vocal style, a little bit raspy, like where you can do this blues, you can do country, you can do rock, and like kind of put it all together.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I think listening to all that and being that being parts of my life, like, it's kind of inevitable that sometimes it'll come out. And so you'll have little hints of it, little Easter eggs, which I think is cool.
What's your songwriting process like, Taylor? Like, how are these, when you did, were these songs, they've been around a while in your head? Were there bits and pieces? Like, when do you sit down and go, I'm going to write a song? Or are there moments where it just kind of comes, or...
I'm kind of terrible at it, honestly, and I've never really written with anybody else until recently, but it's always like, I don't know, there's never like a formula for it. It either just hits me all at one time, or I'll feel in a creative mood and I'll go through my notes and see all these one-liners that I've written and kind of expand on that. You know, it's kind of a mix of both. It's never, if I am going to force myself to sit down and write something, I'm not going to get shit done. Like, mm-hmm. I can't do that. I have to feel it. And looking at it now is like trying to be more professional and making it a daily practice and things like that, and really falling in love with songwriting and progressing that way is been a priority for me. So I'm trying to learn how to make myself sit down and do it. But for the most part, it's me riding in a van or in the RV and staring out the window and letting something come into me, to be honest, is what it normally is.
Were the songs for the record, were they written over a long period of time, or some newer some or some older?
Yeah, some of them, like Undone, I've been sitting on for like 6 years. We've been playing live for that long. And I've tried to record it 2 or 3 times and hated it until I had this version of the band that we have now. But a lot of them, so about, I'd say, a little less than half are other people's songs, or other, all Alabama songwriters. So there's an Adam Hood song on there. There's a really great songwriter that I love, and one of my best friends, Brett McDaniel, he wrote some songs on that. And so it's about half and half on that record. But some of them we recorded for the first time in the studio. I'd never played them live. And some of them we've been playing for, 4 or 5 years.
How did you end up writing with Adam Hood? Because he also has got a songwriting credit on Blackberry Smoke's last record, the last song, Barefoot Angel, him and Charlie wrote.
Yeah, I didn't end up writing that song. It was him and Bonnie Bishop, and I have been buddies with Adam for a while, so I just was looking for another song on the record that had more of like a soulful feel, and I was trying to write one, and I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to message him and see if he's got anything, because he's one of my favorites of all time. And he was like, yeah, here you go, and sent me 140 songs and said pick, and I picked that one.
Oh, wow.
I thought that song was underlyingly like outlaw southern rock, like mind your business. I know vocally it doesn't seem that way, but if you listen to it lyrically, it's kind of like a, leave me alone, tend to your own, that kind of thing, which I loved and resonated with.
When somebody sends you 140 songs and says, take a pick, are they like rough cuts, demos? Are they lyrics and music? Like, what are you getting sent?
I mean, I'm getting phone recording, sitting down work tape. Some of them had been done and recorded in the studio, but a lot of them were just the phone recordings. And I listened to every single one of them because it was amazing. I mean, there's some that like Brent Cobb was singing on, and some with Miranda Lambert in the background and shit. It was crazy. I was like, what do I, am I supposed to have this? I felt like it was dirty for me to have it. Like, it was wrong.
like someone made a bootleg somewhere and they're circulating it.
Like, somebody made a mistake when they emailed me the whole damn thing.
Wow. So, right, you said Red Clay Strays. You've had some shows. You have got a show coming up at the Ryman? Or did you already play it? You're coming up.
No, it's coming up.
Have we played the Ryman before?
Oh, hell no. Okay, this will be my first time. It's crazy. I never thought that would happen. And I watching them, I've been friends with them for years, and they played my wedding, like.
The Red Clay Strays did?
Played my wedding. Yeah.
Wow, oh, nice. Wow. That's a good band. That's awesome. A band that Ryan and I want to have on. Yeah.
They're the nicest, most genuine people that you could ever meet. I mean, every single one of them has such a good heart and are so talented, and everyone falls in love with them for the right reasons. You see a lot of the good guys not get the recognition they deserve, and you see a lot of the not so good guys get put on a pedestal, and they are going to get everything they deserve being the good guys. I love them so much. I could go on the whole entire hour talking about them, but yeah, they played my wedding 3 years ago. It was a hoot.
And now you're playing the Ryman with them.
I know. It's crazy.
I get nervous. Is this your first time at the Ryman? Have you seen a show there? Have you seen a show at the Ryman?
Never set foot in there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Wait, well, she's anti-Nashville. We already heard that.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Screw that city.
We were in 21. We went to a podcast expo there. So I went and toured the Ryman. And RCA Studio B.
Man.
Which was fascinating. Because there was like an X on the floor and electrical tape where Elvis stood and his piano was in there. And
make the hair on the back of my neck stand up. That's that's crazy. There are great things about Nashville. Yeah. I just don't like
how I get it. I mean,
carbon copy each other.
I can't remember who was I reading an interview with. I can't remember, but whoever it was said like in the early 2000s, it wasn't like everyone hadn't moved there yet. It was a little more insular. And so I'm sure it's, I think too, like the Broadway scene just kind of campy, you know, so.
That's mainly what I'm referring to. Like, I mean, most of my friends live there, to be honest.
Sure. Yeah.
There are some great things, but it just gets, I don't know. It feels like a pissing contest. Like everybody's just talking about who they know, who they're writing with. And then I'm out here trying to do 200 dates a year and bust my tail and pay my bills. And it's like, they just stay in Nashville and feel like they're, you know, I feel like they talk down to us a lot. And I'm like, that's okay. I'm going to go play my shows. I'm going to go make some friends.
Well, you know, a city full of a lot of people that aren't from there. But it's very fascinating because I want to hear, like when you were saying the scenes in Alabama, I love that. Wherever I can hear about scenes that aren't Nashville. So I think it's great.
That's why we love Oklahoma and Texas so much, because there's different things going on everywhere and everybody appreciates everybody else. It's not a competition. At least to me, it doesn't feel that way. I've always felt very welcomed there. So if I was going to go anywhere bigger, I would probably be to Texas.
Okay.
To be honest.
Where in Texas?
We tend to do well in Fort Worth, but man, if I had the money, I'd probably live in Austin. Which is crazy to say because it's got this influx of people not from Austin, but my experience there has not been the same as my experience in Nashville.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Right on. What about Fort Worth? What about that you like so much? What's just a good scene or?
Yeah. And I have a lot of buddies again that live out there, and I think everybody there, it's weird because in Alabama, people don't really care to come out to shows unless it's shit they've known their whole life or whatever's trending on the radio. They don't really come out to shows. And I know it's, I don't want to bash Alabama, but I think a lot of people just don't put value into live music that they like discovering that. And I think Texas, their culture is they like that. They want to find the original music. They like the meaning of behind the song. They like that kind of thing. So I think Fort Worth is a great, we just got to play Billy Bob's with Whitey Morgan. It was crazy.
Oh, like, wow. That's cool.
Yeah. Insane.
What about insane. Tulsa? Have you been to Tulsa? Like what's that like?
It's probably my favorite place to go. And I'll be there in a week and a half, I think. Honestly, if I was moving for career wise musically, I'd probably move to Texas. If I was moving because I wanted to be near people that I loved, it would be Tulsa because my best friends live there. I mean, and they've been so good to me. Have you heard of Mercury Lounge in Tulsa?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I started doing, I'd go up for a week and do happy hours there, just acoustic, and was like busting my tail, trying to like get my foot in the door because that place is historic. And now I'm about to go play a sold out show there in a week and a half. You know, like it's one of those places that those people really do care too. And I have so many friends there. Tulsa's the best.
Is it a good scene? Like you were mentioning Fort Worth or music?
Yeah. There's a crazy, that's the thing about Mercury Lounge. You never know who's going to pop in. John Fulbright will be there or, you know, I mean, it's crazy. I've met Zach Bryan there. I've met so many people that are just coming there to hang out, or they're either playing, half of Jason Boland's band is up there playing, or John Moreland's just hanging out. I mean, they have that. Tulsa has a certain sound though. And I think it's very JJ Cale inspired.
Right. Yeah.
And Leon Russell and all of that. I think Tulsa's scene has been very welcoming to me as well. Just like Fort Worth.
And also for me, like, before Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, they were Mud Crutch, and on their way out to Hollywood. They stopped in Tulsa at Shelter and Denny Cordell's studio and got to be a, you know, better band or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
there's a lot of history there, man. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I've never been to Tulsa. I had a, would have had a chance with before COVID hit. And then some of our business dealings are no longer in Tulsa anymore. I'm very disappointed.
Dang. Well, what you doing next week? Just fly out.
You know, I might as well. What else am I going to do?
Come on now. It'll be a good time. That's for sure.
Oh, I bet. In the Mercury Lounge, like, legendary place. You got to go.
All I know is at some point there's going to be a pilgrimage, so I'm trying to connect the dots. That's why I'm asking all our guests about, you know, we got Fort Worth, and it'll end up in the Delta, Mississippi Delta. That's everything. And then that's where it all started. So,
absolutely.
Mississippi, Alabama, Oklahoma, Texas.
That's it.
That's all you need. Well, I was looking at your tour dates right before we got on, and that's like you got a bunch of upcoming shows in Texas, and kind of like you said, is that where you draw best, Texas? I mean, where's your biggest crowd coming from?
We do well on the East Coast, like the Carolinas. We tend to do well, but yeah, Tulsa's probably our best because we're playing Kane's Ballroom with the Strays there too, and I think Oklahoma and that, like, kind of South Midwest. I don't know my geography well, but you know what I mean. Like,
yeah.
That area has been really good for us, and we've been going there for a long time. So we've been nursing those relationships and making a shit ton of friends along the way out there. So yeah, I think that does really well. But I will say, we've gotten to play the West Coast this past year with Mike and the Moon Pies, which is now Silverada, and we've played Idaho a couple times now, and Idaho has a great scene too. It's kind of crazy, and they love that Southern thing too. So I don't know. I'm just happy to be here and making friends everywhere.
In Idaho, is that where the Highway 30 Fest is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
she's got to shoot a little bit more east, Brian. She's over your way.
Well, I did on your website where it says request a show. Country music is huge up here, but I think it's more of the country pop. But I mean, because Dem Dirty Roses plays it up in Henriette, Minnesota. Why do I forget the name of the place? But anyway, Whiskey Myers plays up here. Blackberry Smoke's played up here. Them Dirty Roses played in a bar in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and apparently the club owner didn't do much promotion, but they played like the place was full. That was the first time I saw them.
Is South Dakota where Sturgis is?
Yeah, that's west, though. Sioux Falls is on the east.
Okay.
And Ryder Saloon is the place in Henriette.
There you go. That's right.
It's Northwoods Jam every year.
That's where we talked to the owners. We had them on and talked a little bit about Northwoods Jam, didn't we?
Yeah.
Awesome. I'll just tell the Dirty Roses boys to take me with them next time.
Oh, my God, man. They're good dudes. Like, Andrew, I think he just got married.
He did.
Yeah. I saw him right before Christmas, and he was, like, all fit and everything. I'm like, dude, what happened to you? He's like, well, I mean, mixed martial arts this time. I'm lifting weights. I'm running. I'm like, man, Andrew. Holy shit, like, you're all domesticated.
Yeah, I know it, dude. He's not shotgunning beers with his nail, you know?
I know.
He's still doing that.
But, like, he was, like, super in shape and everything. I was really impressed by him.
I love those guys so much. Alabama boys. I love them.
We recorded a pod. Well, I recorded a podcast with all those guys before one of their shows this place in Ohio, and we pretty much had to lose the tape. I think there were crimes that were committed on there. It's almost like you're so it's hidden. Wow. Never see the light of day. Yeah, I think there are some things that just don't need to see the light of day that the people involved in the conversations know happened.
Yeah,
it's where it stops.
We get in trouble every time, and when we're together, it's. We always
they bring that out, people. You know, they bring out the devil in everybody.
We're just and we're the same. We match that energy, so we're all together. Like me and James, like have run off to some other bar, and like Frank is hanging out with Bobby, and they're all like, everybody's lost. They played Billy Bob's the night before that we got to play with Whitey. So we went up a day early to surprise him, and it was that Whitey show the next day was hard because we were hung over. It was rough. But we made the we're professionals, you know. But if you if you're gonna party with them Dirty Roses, you gotta be prepared.
And about 20 years younger than what I am.
Man, it's we've all kind of slowed down though, to say that.
Now, have you partied with them Dirty Roses and the Comancheros at the same time?
I've met the Comancheros one time, and I think that if it was all three of us, we would all go to jail. I think we'd be in a lot of trouble.
I believe it. Yeah. I believe it.
I dig what they do, man.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, a Southern rock kind of blue Southern rock trio. They got a cool thing going in their merch. They have such great, cool designs on their merch.
I think I stole a t-shirt from somebody. I think I may have one. I didn't steal it. I just took it. I needed it, you know.
They gave it to you because you're friends.
Probably, yes. Like, no. You mean they're going to invoice me for $30?
They're just happy you're out there marketing the band. That's all.
I'll wear it. I will definitely wear it.
Tanner was, he's been on a couple times. The first time he was on is really early on. He told us some story about they had to pull over into some parking lot in Oklahoma, some gas station convenience store, and take a little nap and knock, knock, knock on the window. It's like the local sheriff or whatever, but they just let him go, you know, move on. It was like in the morning, so they had slept for a while. That's pretty funny.
I forgot to. There's nothing better than taking a little nap at Love's. A little shower.
Oh, the little Love's, yeah, truck stop. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Love's have the best showers. Like go 3 or 4 days. Yes, they're so good. You've got like the shitter in there with you and then the fan blowing on you. And like,
Wait a minute. I don't think setup. I want the fan blowing on me if I'm using the shitter, you know?
Sometimes. It depends on what you ate.
Depends on how hard you gotta work. Sometimes you need to cool it off, man.
On the toilet and being sweaty. You don't want to be sweaty.
That's true.
Tanner confessed to us that he drinks Natty Light or Natty Ice at room temperature.
Oh God!
Right.
I can drink one, but it's gotta be cold. Like,
yeah, it's gotta be almost freezing, so you don't taste it.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. So I mean, cool. If he brought me one, I wouldn't turn it down. I'd have a hard time.
They have all those fruit flavored natties now too, like apple and I think peach and stuff, right? Why? Yeah.
No. Just drink the beer like a real man. Damn it.
So enjoy the bitter taste.
Yeah. We just talked to, for upcoming episode, Dustin Kennedy, and I know you guys are playing the North Springs Music Festival, and I'm going to try to make it to that.
Yes! I'm so excited.
Because it's a ways away, and it's October, and Parker Barrow's playing too, so.
They're awesome, man.
Yeah, and then Dirty Roses.
It's going to be...
Oh, Brian, you're going to get arrested with all the... Now you're going to be in the group.
Yeah, you just come with us, okay?
I'll be driving.
Can you give us a ride?
Well, I'm the only one that's going to be able to drive. I'm retired.
I'm solidifying this now.
I forgot you were playing that. I'm glad you brought that up because we just talked to him a couple weeks ago and he ran through that the list of players, man. That's a hell of a festival.
I know it, dude. The first time he met us, we were opening for them Dirty Roses at the Shed. And
that's right.
My bass player was throwing up out of the van. I was changing bras in the back. Somebody was brushing their teeth and spitting in the parking lot. And Dustin comes walking up. And I was like, oh, shit. He's never going to book us. And he did.
So you know that you guys roll with the punches. And when you play out in the middle of nowhere like that, you got to be able to roll with the punches.
We can do it. For sure.
Oh my God. Well, I got to make sure, Brian, I can't hang with these guys all at the same time. Like, you know, Dirty Roses or Taylor. You know, I can't mix and match here because I'll probably die.
If you just give yourself a limit, you know, we'll push you a little bit farther past that.
Okay.
But if you give yourself like a ground line, you know.
Okay. All right. I have to remember that. Is your husband there?
No, he went back over. Oh. I don't know where he is.
I was going to ask him a guitar question. What kind of guitars does he play?
He's a Telecaster guy.
Okay. Right. I'm good.
The Tele guy.
You're going to play a Fender. You got to go with the Telecaster. That's my opinion.
That's since I've met him, that's what he's had. He played an SG for like one show, and all of us were like, that, no.
No. Doesn't look right.
No. And he's like 6'5", too. So like his proportion is like, no, he's 6'6". Damn, I don't know how tall he is.
Holy shit.
He's a big old dude. So like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The SG had to look tiny, like in his hand, like a toy.
It was kind of weird. We didn't like it. His Instagram handle is Telecaster Josh, and it has been for like 10 years. So we made him change it to SG Josh for a day and just didn't have the same ring to it, you know?
No, it doesn't. Fuck. Yeah. Like I had an SG once. I didn't like it. One, it's like super head heavy because the body is so thin and small, and then it didn't fit right or sound right. And I'm not Angus Young, and I'm with you, man. The Telecaster is a really good choice. If you go
with
it.
Tyler, the slide guitar player playing on an SG makes sense. And so
look at Derek Trucks and Dwayne Allman. And it helps too because how it's cut, if you get the slide really far up the neck, it works out really well. So that's cool. I'm not like a predominant slide player. So just wasn't feeling it for me.
Yeah, me either.
It's got the strap button in the back. It pushes the guitar forward like that.
It just wasn't right for me. I think you got to be the right person. I think you made a good call having your husband switch, stay with the Telecaster.
Yeah, it's who he is.
You play guitar.
I do.
Yeah. How did you pick up the guitar? When did you pick up the guitar?
I got one when I was like, I always tell this wrong. I can never remember. I have to call my mom. It's either the Christmas that I was 16 or 17. And I got it was like a classical Alvarez or something. And I did
like a nylon string one, like an actual classical guitar. Okay.
Yes. Yes. And it was, I wish I still had it. I don't know where the hell or who I sold it to, but, I didn't really start playing guitar. Even when I was singing in blues bands and fronting a band, I didn't really play guitar. So, finally it got to like a weird turning point where I was like, oh shit, I'm going to have to do this by myself. I pissed my boyfriend off and now I'm going to have to learn how to play. So I just did. I just started watching everybody and learned how to play. I don't know. I can't tell you anything I'm playing, but I can keep rhythm. So I can do that.
So you don't know what chords you're playing. You're just playing.
I mean, like I've learned a little along the way, but there's things I'm doing. My husband's like, you should apply that and do this. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. I have no idea. I just watched.
Just stay with the cowboy chords, you know, the G, D, A, E, you know, C. That's all you're really figure it out. Life.
You know,
that's right.
Figure it out. It's more of a. I mean, I do. I'm very like I feel comfortable in my rhythm playing. I don't know stepping outside of that. Like I ain't Susan or nothing. You know, like yeah. I know nobody. She's an alien.
She's a sneaky good guitar player, too.
She is. I mean, I remember listening to her, like, first records before she was with Derek and did the whole Trucks thing. And that's what I fell in love with. I was like, damn, she's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, great voice. I mean, she can play some licks on the guitar.
She's an angel.
Angel from Montgomery.
Continue. Yeah. Yeah.
They covered that one well.
You're playing some other festivals, you know, Rooster Tail, a couple others, but this one that I want to ask you about, Inappropriate Trucker Hats Block Party in Prosper, Texas.
Oh, yeah. That's coming up in a couple days, ain't it?
April 13th.
Yes.
It was Saturday, right?
What the hell is that?
So, have y'all seen, do y'all know anything about Inappropriate Trucker Hats?
Yeah, well, it's the name of a hat company or store.
Yeah, and she just prints the most confusing or vulgar shit on a hat for you. Mm-hmm. And I own a lot And I just became friends with her after playing Mal Zero this past year. And even before that, we've been friends. And she had Tanner Esri come into play, and Tanner's a buddy. And she was like, why don't you just come open? And I was like, sign me up. So there's a whole block party. They're shutting everything down, and we're just going to have a good time. That's Tanner's another one. If you
yeah,
start partying with, that's another one.
We've heard his name a lot. A lot of our guests have told us to, you know, check him out, and he's a good talent. I think that's one thing we got to do.
Yeah, I've chatted with him briefly, so we'll get him on here at some point.
Yeah, you should. There's just
two damn good artists, and not enough time. Taylor, come on.
I know it, dude. There's so many of us.
Have you played Rooster Tail before?
No, I have not. This will be my first year. And my two favorite bands currently doing it are on the lineup. So it's crazy that I get to do that.
Who's that?
Smoke and Steelwoods.
Oh, okay. Oh. Yeah.
Well, catch the Steelwoods while you can, unfortunately.
I cried so much. I was so upset. But I get it. I understand.
Yeah, it's hard, man. And I saw them Dirty Roses open up for the Steelwoods in December when I saw Andrew. It was like, holy shit, dude, you're in shape. So it's a great show.
Yeah, that's been on the top of my list for my whole life, and getting to open for them. And I haven't gotten to. But maybe, wink, wink, might get announced on Wednesday that I might get to. So
maybe, wink, wink, it may get announced on a Wednesday.
Yeah, we'll see.
This podcast will come out after Wednesday, so you know, if you tell us now.
We get to open for them. So I'm just all right, like, woo! Yeah, it's a life goal and a dream, because they Steelwoods have been my favorite and my go-to for a very long time. Every record I love individually. I love everything they've ever done. Even this past one, which is, you know, all Wes. I just think he's brilliant, and I think Rowdy was brilliant, and Tyler and Johnny and all of them. I just I'm really honored that I'm going to get to open for him and get to see him at Rooster Tail. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
What about a Peacemaker Festival?
Man, those guys, that's who is putting out the EP for us in October. They chose us. We played at like 3 in, I don't know if it was July last year, but I know it was like 115 degrees somewhere in that area, and we played at 3 right in the sun, and nobody was there, but we were just happy to be there. So we played our asses off, and Trent, the guy that is the talent buyer and in charge of Peacemaker, was like, we're gonna have you back, we're gonna do the emerging artist thing, we're gonna you're gonna record an EP up here for free, we're gonna help promote it, we just believe in you. And those, man, Fort Smith has become a very special place to me as well. They, that festival is one of the best ones I've ever played, and they know how to do it right. And they always have a killer lineup, you know?
Yeah, I was looking at all these lineups earlier. I don't have them in front of me, but is that the one where you're playing with 49 mm-hmm. Winchester?
Yes, I love those guys, man.
Yeah, that's another good band too. That's a good, it's a good mix. Those bands, Steelwoods, 49 Winchester, are a really good mix for your sound.
Yeah, I love those guys, man. I opened for them at Mercury Lounge like years ago before they hit it big, and so we've been buddies since then. I'm so proud of all of my friends that are doing so well. It's crazy. I'm like, don't forget about me. Take me with you.
I want to go back to the record for a second. Like, what I like the story in Sawblade Hill.
You don't mess with grandmama. She'll get you.
Is that your grandma or an amalgamation of a lot of grandmas?
No, that song was written by Brett McDaniel, the guy I was telling you about. And mm-hmm. Brett actually was roommates, I think, at one point with Charlie Starr. He's from that same area that Charlie's from. But when he showed me that song, I was like, I need that song. And so he just kind of writes the song and sends me the work tape. And then I put it together with the band and change a few things about it. But when I heard that story, I was like, I mean, who doesn't love a moonshiner song or a murder ballad? You know, like, it's both. It's perfect. I'm sure that's just a made up I don't know. Maybe it was about his grandpa. I don't know.
You got to have inspiration somewhere.
Also, right. Like a lot is Alabama Sound and All or Nothing.
Thanks. Alabama Sound I wrote with the guitar player, Tyler. He came to me and had the idea, and we kind of put it together. And then All or Nothing I wrote on my own. I was pissed off. I was telling the boys that last night because they didn't realize. I tried to quiz them. So, like, if I'm not there for sound check or for some reason, they have to, like, sing to the mic. And none of them know any of the lyrics. And I'm like, you play these songs every night. Do you not know the lyrics to these songs? They're like, no, we just know our parts. I'm like, okay, great. So I was going through and, like, quizzing them about it. And there's so many little Easter eggs and All or Nothing about all the people in my life at that point that were pissing me off. So, like, that's my FU song. But I love it. It's a fun one to play.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you like it.
Yeah, no, I do, totally.
But Alabama Sound was really, I think, what's going to put a foot forward into what the next EP is going to sound like. Mm-hmm. I think that's the
cool.
That's awesome. The vibe we're going for.
Okay. That's good to know.
Yeah.
So what's you're playing shows? What else is going on? Just playing shows, cut an EP. What else do we need to know?
That EP will come out in October. We're going to be touring as much as we possibly can.
How many songs, Taylor, are going to be on that EP?
6, I think. Possibly 7.
That's pretty good, yeah. Make
it not an EP, but I think it's probably going to be 6.
What are the rules for that? Is it more than five songs and more than 30 minutes? What's the, like, what's the cutoff?
I think there's 6. There's no rule. Yeah, I think 7 makes it LP. I'm not good with rules.
All right, here we go. So EPs must meet one of the following requirements. The release has a total of 1 to 3 tracks. One or more of the tracks are 10 minutes or longer, and the entire release is less than 30 minutes. Or the release has a total of 4 to 6 tracks, and the entire release is less than 30 minutes.
Okay, learn something new every day.
I just did as well. Google, it's amazing.
To do that more.
So, Jason, yeah, it'll be. Is it that time of the show?
Taylor, are you ready for a couple stupid lightning round questions to end the interview?
Yeah, I'm ready. Let's go.
All right, Brian, I'm going to bring back some old school questions from our friend Leilani Kilgore.
Nice.
This is Taylor's first time. We need to make sure she's safe to have back another time. So, okay. These questions, Taylor, are going to determine whether or not you're a psychopath.
Oh, shit. Okay.
If you make a bowl of cereal, do you first, A, put the cereal in the bowl and then add the milk, or B, put the milk in the bowl and add the cereal on top?
A, but normally it's in a solo cup.
Well, okay. But cereal, then milk.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. She's 1 for 1, Brian. 1 for 1. We're good so far. The last question out of the 2-part, am I a psychopath question. When putting on your shoes and socks, you first, A, do sock, sock, shoe, shoe, or B, sock, shoe, sock, shoe?
I feel like I'm going to be disqualified because I don't wear socks.
Ever?
I mean, if it's real cold, I'll do sock, sock, shoe, shoe. But normally, okay. I don't wear socks.
All right. You have passed the psychopath test.
Okay.
You are welcome back.
Okay. Good. I was nervous. Damn.
Yeah, we're real serious.
When you're on the road and you stop in your Loves or another place to go to for the truck stop, what is your go-to junk food of choice?
It's hard because I'm on like a weird diet, but normally I go for like a packet of tuna or like hard-boiled eggs or
protein.
Like, yeah, beef jerky, yogurt, something
like
you're
still
that.
Playing sports. It's like an athletic diet.
Exactly. I'm so athletic.
So it's not like you're not hitting the Fritos or getting a Twix bar. You're getting hard-boiled eggs and wow.
Yeah, all the stuff that makes it smell really bad on the bus, that stuff.
All the stuff that makes you need to have a fan on you when you're going in the bathroom after you get all of it. Yes.
Now you get it. Now
it's all coming together. We're back. Yes, completely understand. Yes.
Yeah. That's how it is. Pork rinds, all that good shit.
Yeah, well, pork rinds are very, like, proteiny, you know?
Zero carbs.
Yeah, man, it's just fried pig skin.
Yeah, it's, I don't like to think about it that way.
You know, can't be wasteful.
I just pretend it's a barbecue chip, but it's not.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough, because it is a little weird to think about that.
Yeah.
Okay. When you were growing up, did you have a favorite cartoon to watch?
I mean, I was a SpongeBob girl. But my parents, I played sports, so they're like, you stay outside until it's dark, and then you come back in and you eat and go to bed. So,
but I like, do you have SpongeBob. a favorite SpongeBob episode?
I like the jellyfish rave episode, because now older, I know what they're doing.
So that cartoon, I'm a parent. My kids are 21 and 19, so they're older. But when you're watching those cartoons, you realize how much adult humor is actually in a lot of those things.
Oh my gosh, it's kind of crazy that they got away with it.
SpongeBob was really bad.
I've never watched SpongeBob, so what are you guys referring to? I mean, I know who SpongeBob is, but
there's a lot of innuendo in there. A lot of innuendo, like there's some sexual innuendo. There's like what Taylor's talking about with going to a rave and taking drugs and having a good time.
That one. I'll send you the episode after this. You can watch it.
I always liked the one where SpongeBob, they learned to cuss, and every time they cussed, it was like the dolphins going. Yeah. You know, a customer would come up at the Krabby Patty and you order something, and SpongeBob would like use profanity at him because he didn't know it was wrong. Yeah. I still laugh at that one. That's a good one.
I love them all, really. I need to go back and visit them. Maybe that's what I do on this run.
And it's very smartly written stuff.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Now, if you're going to torture parents by having a cartoon, you should at least have some kind of hidden humor for them.
Yeah, that they can have a little chuckle throughout the day.
Yep. First movie I took my son to was Wallace and Gromit, The Curse of the Were-Rabbit. It's like a claymation, like a British thing.
Anyways, oh, that's freaking like, out.
Yeah, it was, but it had so much inappropriate humor that I laughed at because I got, but my son who was 4 didn't understand any, but I enjoyed the movie, probably more than he did.
There you go. It was for you.
It was for me. It was for me.
Yeah.
Okay, as a songwriter, what's a song that you love so much, lyrics or otherwise, that when you listen to it, you wish you'd written it?
Oh my God, there's so many. I guess the one that I've been listening to the most recently that's resonated with me that I think is so brilliantly written is Faustino by John R. Miller, which is, I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but he's amazing. And I think that's one of the ones. Or The Dogs by Justin Wells. That one I feel like relates directly to my life that I'm like, damn, that was so clever. I wish I'd have written that.
Yes, I always find it interesting, particularly when somebody's good at writing lyrics, to see what they'll go to, because that's, you know, certain things resonate with people.
Yeah. Anything that's a tale about the hardships of being on the road and trying to keep up a household and doing all that, that's what I gravitate towards, because that's what my life is. So,
like the real life, this is kind of how it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Being an adult sucks, right?
Dude, and being a poor musician adult, I mean, it's great. I have the best job in the world, but sometimes, you know, you go into Love's to buy your hard boiled eggs. And you're like, shit, I got 20 cents, dude. Like, I couldn't even get a chicken nugget if I wanted to.
Right?
Yeah. You know, sometimes it's hard, but I wouldn't trade it for anything, you know.
Well, it also sounds like you've got a lot of a bright future ahead of you with a lot of the stuff that's coming up and who you're playing with.
I sure hope so.
If you could play a show for one night with any artist living or dead or, you know, no longer together, who would you choose?
I think it would be the the original lineup of Skinner, honestly. I mean, I know it's as cheesy as that is. Maybe a Little Feet. That'd be cool.
Oh, that's a great choice, too. My goodness.
Yeah.
So let's go with both those bands. Let's say it's a double bill and you're on stage with both of them. What's one song from each band that you would have to sing with them?
With Skinner, I'd probably want to do On the Hunt. With Little Feet, I'd probably want to do Skin It Back.
Wow. Nice. Yeah. Some deeper cuts.
Yeah.
What's your favorite board game?
Shit, when's the last time I played a board game?
Do you know what a board game is?
I mean, what's your favorite? We went on like a Monopoly kick for a while when I was a kid. So probably Monopoly.
Monopoly? Okay.
All right. When you were playing Monopoly and you were losing, did you get mad and throw the board up?
Absolutely, I was that child.
Awesome.
Yes, 100%.
Then I'm not the only weirdo.
I do not like to lose.
Well, that's that athletic background. It's competitive.
Yeah. Stupid.
All right, two last questions for you. What is a guilty pleasure song or artist for you?
Oh, my gosh. There's a lot. I mean, like,
who would you really be surprised about?
Do you know the song Thank You by Ditto?
Oh, yeah. 90s song. Yeah, British artist. Yeah.
Yes. I've listened to it 4 times today and I keep singing
really?
It. And they're like, can you please stop? All of like that weird, like ethereal 90s music I love, but I also love like 90s alternative stuff. So I think that's probably my guilty pleasure. Yeah.
Okay. So out of the 90s rock scene, who is the best singer? I'm going to give you multiple choice. A, Eddie Vedder. B, Layne Staley. C, Chris Cornell. Or D, other of your choice?
C.
Cornell?
Yeah.
Always. Yes. Right? I was having an argument with my friends. Now, we all grew up and were like college during the 90s and everything. And one of them wouldn't believe us when we said Chris Cornell was the best singer of the 90s, you know, and one of the best singers of all time. I even had like Brian Matt Wake and Andrew Daly, writers for Guitar World, text me back so I could show my friends, and he still argued with me. But Taylor says it's true, so it's true.
All day. I mean, I love Layne Staley too, and obviously better, but Chris Cornell, yeah. Even, what was that? Did he do, was it a blues record that he did? What was the freaking song on it? Oh, I can't remember. I just remember listening to that song right after he died and crying my eyes out. His vocal range was incredible. And his amazing control and his power, all day. He wins.
Yep. I mean, you can like Alice in Chains or Pearl Jam as a better band than Soundgarden, but I don't think you can really truthfully argue that Cornell didn't have the best voice.
Yeah, agreed.
Flipping ridiculous. Good. All right, good. That's a good answer. Good answers all around. I like it. Thank you. All right. Last question. The last three artists that you've streamed are?
Sam Morrow.
We just had him on.
Dude, love that guy.
Cosmic Cowboy.
Man, that record he just put out has been, he released it the same day, and I've probably listened to it 500 times. Today, I don't know if this counts, but have you ever heard of Rob Linus?
No.
Rob Linus is from Georgia. He's like honky tonk, shit kicking, southern rock, like power trio shit.
Really? Rob Linus, L-I-N-U-S?
L-E-I-N-E-S.
L-E-I-N-E-S. I think I have heard of him. Yeah, I have.
He's the shit, dude. He's the shit. I tell everybody he's my cousin. Everybody thinks he's my cousin, so I'm keeping that up. He's my cousin. But he's from Georgia. And it was an unreleased song, so I haven't streamed it, but I've listened to it a bunch today. And, man, who else? I feel like I need to look through my phone.
You could. It's open book.
Let me see. Let me see who else I've listened to today.
Oh, it's L-E-I-N-E-S, Rob.
That's right.
There we go. All right, got him.
I'm not the best speller, you know. Alabama education. Okay.
Bottom three. That's all right.
I think, oh, yeah, I just listen to Stillwoods every day.
So Sam Morrow, Steel Woods, and Rob Linus. Brian, I got Rob Linus marked down. I'm going to have to listen to him once we're done here.
Right on.
So good. So good.
All right. Well, we proved Taylor is not a psycho, so congratulations.
Thank you so much.
At least by our standards, you're not. So, you know.
I was like, can I get that in writing?
It is on the podcast. It'll come out. It'll be in the public. It'll be on Apple and Spotify. It'll all be there. No, thanks so much for getting on with us tonight. We know you're busy. You're in between, you know, traveling to gigs and got a lot of stuff going on, a lot of great festivals coming up, Texas, Oklahoma. Where do we send our listeners to go learn more about Taylor Honeycutt, your music, your tour, your merch, everything all about you?
Go to taylorhoneycutt.com, or you can just go look on Instagram. I'm the most active on Instagram, but you can listen to everything on Spotify, on Apple, on Amazon, on all the things.
Excellent. So we will send everybody to your Instagram and to stream your music and preferably buy physical media. It's always cool.
Yes.
And you got some colors of your new album or your last album, right? Too, you can get some special colors or a color.
I think we're about to release like a special color. I think right now we've got a couple of just the regular black first issues out, but we're going to release another color. Okay. So you can buy that on the website or pre-order it.
Yep, that's right. I saw that today on your website. So there you go. Go to her website, buy her stuff, see her on the road, check her out with the Steel Woods. Everybody else, over to you, Brian.
Well, I was on your merch page today, and I got your CD coming and a hat.
Nice.
Damn.
Which hat?
Raise the bar.
The honeybee one.
That's my favorite one. It's my favorite one.
So I'm looking forward to getting that.
Yeah. Damn it. He's merch shaming me. Now I have to go on him and one up it. I'm buying one of those special vinyls.
Hey, who's on your t-shirt?
What, the van?
No, on your t-shirt, right, that you're wearing. Who's that?
Ricky Van Shelton.
My goodness.
Okay.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah.
I like the van t-shirt, too, but...
I thought you meant on the website, and I was like,
we
could have a whole other podcast about that van.
Well, having said that, you are already a regular, we've decided, because...
Nice.
This was an awesome conversation. So thank you so much to Taylor Honeycutt for coming on. The record is Alabama Sound. She's playing everywhere. Go see her. I'm hoping for North Springs Music Fest in October. Thank you so much for coming on and chatting with us. It was a ball.
And thank y'all for having me. I'll see y'all again soon.
Thank you so much to Taylor Honeycutt for joining us on her first time here on the podcast. Very wonderful, as always, charming interview, chat. I like to call them chats. They're not interviews, they're chats. So
they're chats.
Thank you to Taylor for coming on. She will be a regular, and I can't wait to see the band live. I'm hoping for the North Springs Music Festival in October. I don't know for sure, but hopefully her and her band will make it up this way.
Yeah, well, I mean, she can come back now. She passed the Leilani Kilgore trademarked psycho test, so she could come back. And I'm with you, man. Like, thanks for Lissa to pointing us in her direction. I love what they're doing on this last record. I'm really looking forward to the EP, if that's kind of the directionally where they're going to go. And they get some good, really good players in that band. I really do. I really enjoy what the guitar guys are doing.
Yeah, no, it like I said earlier, it falls right in there with, you know, Parker Barrow and them Dirty Roses and the Thunderbolts and, you know, like, you know, with the Dirty Gospel and One for the Road and that kind of stuff.
Great sound. You know, you talked about the beginning. She kind of crosses platforms a little bit, which is awesome. And that's the kind of artist I really like, Brian, that you really can't pigeonhole them into one area.
Yeah. And that's the kind of artist we want to have on this podcast. So we're definitely grateful for that. And I also mentioned earlier, Bishop Gunn, even though they're broke up, it kind of falls in that kind of area too. And even also, you know, Magnolia Bayou, who is no longer a band, but same, that kind of sound. So it's great.
That's right. Very cool. Great meeting her and looking forward to what else is coming down the road.
Yeah. And it's great that Always remember, Southern Rock is reverent, blues is blood. We'll see you next time.